You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
Okay, so new series. Have you ever had someone give you advice that was so obvious it's kind of insulting? It's sort of like, you know, maybe you're struggling with your weight. You know, my weight's been up and down a lot in my life. You know, if you would eat less and exercise more, you'd be doing a lot better. Yeah, I'd never heard that before. Or, you know, you would get better grades for you students, you know, if you would study on a regular pattern instead of cramming for your exams. Yeah, of course. Or you would be much happier if ... You know, what is it about that kind of advice that just kind of grates you the wrong way? It's because it's so superficial, right? You know, but there's also there's a spiritual dimension of that as well, where pat answers are given to complex problems. A while ago, I used to be a marathon runner. I'm down to walking now and a bit of jogging, but at one time I was, you know, sometimes running up to 3 marathons a year, and people would come up to me and say, "Oh, it must be really hard." And I said, "It's actually not that hard." I said, "You go to the internet, you download a 16-week training program, you do what it says on every single one of those days, and then running the race isn't that hard. What's the hard part is actually sticking to those 16 weeks. That's the harder part. It's what's behind the race." But there's a spiritual version of this. You know, people in, you know, even talking about the spiritual dimension of life, you know, people would, you know, give answers like, "You shouldn't be so anxious. After all, it says God's with you." Or, you know, "You should just be more loving to others. You know, Jesus was loving, you should be more loving." Or just all these, or "You should just pursue whatever God has for you without fear." Well, again, it's like they're on this level, but it strikes us the wrong way because we know that there's something actually deeper behind that that actually needs to be addressed, right? And that's why we're doing this series, is because we want to get to that something deeper. We want to not just say, "Hey, everybody, you just need to do more stuff. You just need to be better." But what we want to really do is tap into what God has for us by His Spirit on the inside that will drive us and motivate us to do what we know we would love to do and what our heart's desire is. So we want to dig into this subject of prayer. Because when people came up to Jesus' disciples, you know, they didn't say, "Hey, teach us how to preach, teach us how to do this, teach us how to heal." They looked at him and they looked at the way he went away with the Father and he seemed to have these amazing times. And when he would walk away from those times, amazing things would happen, and he literally had the power to turn the other cheek, to love his enemies, to do all these things. And so his own disciples, they went to Jesus and said, "Lord, if you could teach us anything, teach us how to do that. Teach us how to connect with God like that. Teach us to pray." We're going to journey together. We as a staff looked at one another and we said, you know, we're not happy with our prayer life. We don't feel like the level that we're functioning at is high enough. So this series is actually for the pastors. No, it's for everybody. We're not saying we've got it all made. I don't care where you're at in your prayer. You can probably admit that I could probably go a little deeper on this one. I've never met a person that says, "I just pray too much. That's my problem. I just spend too much time with the Lord. I'm always in the Word and just spending so much time." The only person I know that to be true is I remember my wife had a roommate who named her bed Word and Prayer. And she said, "You know, I'm just going to spend some extra time this morning in the Word and Prayer." And let me also say this as a disclaimer. You know, sometimes prayer people, at least in the Christian circles, some of them, not all of them, that can kind of just, how can I say this, be weird. And we're not trying for weirdness here. We're not trying for the type of people who sort of think that they have some sort of special intercessory channel to God, and they're sort of like gonna like enlighten us all somehow. We're not talking about that. We're talking about biblical prayer that we see in the scriptures through Old and New Testament. So let's just pray and ask God right now even to help us on this journey, can we? God, we're just here today opening up this series. We want to grow in this area. We want to know you better. We want to have the power that comes from within. We don't want to be superficial. We don't want to pad answers. We want the answers that really come from you. So help us to dig in, Lord, as we look at this subject called prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to do it for the whole summer. So we're going to have some teaching on prayer. We're going to go through the Lord's Prayer, or the prayer of prayers, 1 week on each of the stanzas of the prayer. And then we're also going to look at just famous prayers all over the Bible that people prayed. So it's going to be prayer is an exhaustive subject, but we're going to have several different types of messages as we move through this. So the first thing on prayer that I want to say is that we should prepare our hearts for prayer. Augustine, who was the greatest theologian from North Africa, he was the greatest theologian of the first century of the church. The first 1,000 years, no one topped the insight that Augustine had, or Augustine. We do one of his early church prayers. And he taught that the first principle of prayer is that before you pray, that you must become a particular type of person. He said, you must account yourself desolate to the world, however the great the prosperity of your lot may be. He even went on, and others have said, it is actually possible that your prayers can do more harm than good. You think, how can that happen? You know, sometimes spiritual things that are meant to be godly actually don't turn out that way. Paul, when he talked to the church in Corinth, he said this. He said, I have nothing to praise you guys for. He said, when you come to come together for worship, said, you actually do more harm than good. That's pretty bad. When they said, it'd be better if you guys just didn't even have church. You're doing more harm than good. Jesus talked about prayer one time, and he said that if you're just using meaningless repetitions, he said, that's what pagan people who don't even know the Lord do. It'd be better if you just stopped. And so this is kind of strong stuff, you know, where Augustine is saying, you know, you've got to prepare your heart because there's something about our hearts. And we've talked about it before here, and that is each of us on the inside has a proclivity to turn to idols or functional saviors, something other than the Lord himself that can creep in. We see this concept in scripture of this idea of disordered loves, or something is on the inside has had too much desire for the wrong thing. The Greek word for this is epithymia, and it means a strong desire or an over desire. It's used 38 times in the New Testament, and it talks about this desire, craving, longing, desire for what's forbidden. Sometimes it's translated lust. And here's some different ways that this word is used that talks about this part of us that we got to watch out for and we got to be aware of within ourselves to prepare for prayer. Mark 14:9, Jesus said that the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires, that word is epithymia, desires meaning over desire for other things, come in and choke the word and make it unfruitful. There's something on the inside of us, our own idols, that can choke out the word. There's something on the inside that can say, I need this more than I need God. And all of a sudden, God's word is choked out. Now, this word isn't always used negatively. It can be used positively. Jesus used it in Luke 22:15. He said to them, I earnestly desire to eat the Passover with you before our supper. So it just means a really strong desire, but sometimes it can mean an over desire. So in this case, that word was used, epithymia, in a positive way. Here's another one, Romans 13:14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. And again, it's the word epithymia here. And a couple more. 2 Timothy 4:3 says, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, their own over desires, their own lusts. You see, there's things in our lives that God wants to counteract. There's things that we desire, but we got to be careful because people can actually use the word of God, it says here, and actually teach. So for instance, success and prestige and getting more money and prosperity, these can be lusts of the heart, but you can actually preach that God wants you to have those things, you see? Whereas God's word doesn't want you to have those things because they aren't of a fulfillment. We can't get out of this world what only God can give. And so these desires, we just have to become very aware. Canadian pastor and theologian James K.A. Smith picks up on Augustinian theology when he says, God doesn't just want to change what you do. He wants to change what you want to do, not just what you do, but your desires. God wants to transform us on the inside so that we can say, I don't need a bigger salary and a bigger job to feel content. Now, if God gives that, great, but I don't need it. That's where God wants to get us to. And so as we go into prayer, we just have to be, according to Augustine, aware that we might just be praying our own desires and not necessarily God's. And so we have to prepare our hearts and think about that. How do you know your idols? Someone once said that when you're kind of in your solitude and you're thinking about nothing, what do you fantasize towards? Oh, if I just had this relationship. Oh, if I just had this car. Oh, if I just had this or I just had that. Those are signs. Those are signs of false saviors vying for us on the inside. And so it's very important. And you see, what happens is God, in his sovereignty, sometimes can actually begin to move in our lives to remove those things and take them away. And we get all anxious about that. He's trying to remove them, and we're like praying for them. And so we got a tug of war. He's taking them away, and we're praying for more of them. And so our desires can be prosperity, success, status, love, pleasure, all these things. And we just have to be mindful. So the first thing is just that we're reflective and we prepare our hearts for prayer. Secondly, we need to plan your time in prayer. We need to plan it. Things that are planned are more likely to be done. And I'm going to look at just some five real practical things here. First of all, find a specific place. Luke 11 it said that Jesus was praying in a certain place. It was almost like he had these spots where you could find Jesus. Like these were the place to go. And I think it's wise to think about and to plan this and think, okay, where can I go to pray? First of all, we have to pick a place where you're not distracted. In Matthew 6:6 in the New American Standard Bible, it says, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. In New Testament times, the inner room was a room without any windows. It was cool. It was more temperature controlled, and it's really where most houses you would put the food, basically. You'd put it in that inner room. And so it was like, this is kind of like an inner place. It's like, I'm not going to be distracted. If you were in a New Testament house in the inner room, there wouldn't be many distractions, believe me. Or maybe, you know, it said Jesus went out to a lonely place. Sometimes it was out in the woods. Did they have woods in there? Well, outside somewhere. We have woods in Canada. So there'd be the dynamic equivalent. Go somewhere. You know, sometimes it's hard if you're living in a home with a lot of people. Charles Wesley's wife, I think she had 12 or 14 kids. She said her secret place was when Mama pulled the apron up over her head in the kitchen, that was her prayer closet. Do not disturb. And when she put it back down, she's done. You can talk to Mama again. So it doesn't have to be, but we want to pick a spot. There's something about a repetition. And there's a positive liturgy, a positive pattern of things. It's like, you know this in life, like there's a pattern. If you get into a good workout pattern or good eating pattern or good studying pattern, there's something how it's like a flywheel. It may be difficult to get started, but once it builds momentum and then you can see, it's easier to go back. So find a place. The other thing, just practically, some people, aren't good at sitting still, they fall asleep. And so you might want to stand. I mean, when the disciples were in the Garden of Gethsemane, they were kind of lying down and praying, and lying down kind of, yeah, don't pick your bed. That bed is not a good place to pray. I mean, that'll be seeking the Lord in a dream in about 2 minutes. Jesus literally said, arise, get up, can't you pray with me? Like, arise, get up, like, they weren't very good there at that. Lying down in bed is not recommended. I put it here in my notes right there. B, commit to a specific time. You know, if you're a morning person, first thing in the morning, if you're awake and alert, that might be a great time after you have your coffee or whatever. If you're not, maybe some reflection time in the evening, or maybe morning and evening. And we're going to look at different types of prayers that have done through the giants of the faith down through the years. Some of the great giants of the faith opted for a morning and an evening prayer. And we'll get into that in other messages. Set a goal of so many minutes. I would say shoot for minimum 10. 10 to 30 maybe, or maybe if you really get on a roll, it might get up to an hour. But I would say set a goal, shoot for 10 minutes, minimally. D, remove distractions. Okay, so let me get into this one. No cell phones, no screens, no windows. Well, maybe you can't have that. But if you're like gaze out the window and all of a sudden you're just looking out the window. Room with no mirrors. You know how a mirror is? A mirror, and all of a sudden you're on to like, do I look okay? Anyway, so leave your cell phone in another room. Don't even use it for your Bible. Like, I often use my cell phone to pull up the Bible, but not in my morning prayer. In morning prayer, I leave the cell phone in the kitchen and go into the living room and use this one. So removing distractions. Have your Bible. And I would say a journal ready too, something that you can write down, because during prayer, God might actually speak to you too, or you might want to write out a prayer. We're going to talk about that later. Number three, persevere in your prayer. I feel like this is a now word for us, persevere. I was teaching the Church Planter Incubator course about a week ago, and I was with some church planters and helping instruct them, and one of the things of taking your church plant to the next level, we talked about perseverance, and we used Luke 15, where when Jesus gave the parable of the woman with the lost coin, and she was just getting into it and really like searching and searching for that lost coin. She was persevering for that lost coin. Or when there was a lost sheep, like the shepherd left the 99 and went out and persevered to find that lost sheep. And then finally, the lost son. But there's something of a perseverance. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Don't give up. And I think even last week, Alex, when he was giving our exhortation, talked about not growing weary. And it was just one more time I felt like this is a real now word for us as a people. And let us not grow weary of doing well, for in due seasons we will reap if we do not give up. So there is something of a perseverance, I think, that's really important at this moment. There's something about incremental change over time. You don't really feel changes, but they're there as we just keep going. So we need to persevere in prayer. And then fourth, I want to give you a couple practices of prayer. And we're going to build on this over the summer. I'm not going to give you, we could have packed this all in and said, okay, we're going to give you 49 easy steps to prayer, or however many, you know, a big long list. But what I thought, since we're journeying together, why don't we do a couple here and a couple there? And let me give you two practices for prayer. So the first one is, I would encourage you to say your prayers out loud or write them down. Why do I say this? Have you ever, I'm sure you've heard this. There's a tragedy, and even politicians and people who don't proclaim to love the Lord or know the Lord, they'll often say, my thoughts and prayers go out. Have you heard that one, thoughts and prayers? And so sometimes we do that. Yeah, I've been thinking, praying about you. Let me say this. Most of the time when we're praying in our head, we're not really praying. We're actually thinking about prayer. We're actually a step removed. We're thinking about praying, but it's never actually taken to the formulation of a prayer. I'm not saying never, but often it isn't. You're not as good at praying in your mind as you think you are, and neither am I. Now, for me, I still find it difficult to pray out loud to God. But you know what I've discovered? I can write a prayer, and it makes sense. It really feels like I've gone from thinking about prayer to actually praying. And so Jesus, in Luke 11, when he was talking about the Lord's Prayer, and when he was being asked to teach his disciples to pray, what did he say? He said, when you pray, think in your head, Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. I think there's something important here. When you pray, say it, or at least formulate it fully through writing or through speaking. If you do mostly head prayer, that's just a challenge for you. Try it out and see the difference it makes to say what you pray, okay? So that's our first just practical practices that I want to leave you with, okay? And then secondly, start your prayer time with a verse of invocation. Now, that's a word that we don't use a lot in independent charismatic type churches, but traditionally the church often had things like call to worship, benediction. I mean, we still incorporate some of those things, but an invocation is an opening scripture that puts our mind over onto the Lord. Someone in our church retweeted this quote by Tim Keller. It says, if God is not the starting point, then our own perceived emotional needs become the drivers and sole focus of our prayers. It's like whatever emotionally the state we're in, that just becomes what we start praying about. And so what an invocation is, it's just a verse of scripture that we start the prayer that takes us off wherever we're at right now and puts us into the framework of God's word. So let me give you an illustration of an invocation, how you can start your prayer with it. So I'm in the morning, I wake up, I brush my teeth. We always set the coffee the night before and then turn it on so it's ready to go. Coffee, and then I go to my spot, and I'm newer at this. I'm trying to learn better as I go these same steps. So I'm not a pro, but I'm working on it. So a prayer of invocation. A verse of invocation. So here's one, Psalm 63. So I look at this scripture of invocation, and I open up my Bible before I pray, and I read, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon. See, I don't need a mic in the morning anyhow. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. And then you can just go off and riff on that prayer. Oh God, I do earnestly seek you today. My soul thirsts for you. Sometimes life is dry, Lord, and sometimes my life feels like a dry place with no water. But Lord, I thank you that, Lord, you are the one who satisfies with the water of your Spirit. And I come into your sanctuary today, and I want to behold your glory. Lord, that's what I need more of today, Lord. I need more of your glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life. It really is, Lord. What you have, as I go into this day, Lord, what you have for me is so much better than anything this life can give. So God, I'm going to go into this life, but I know that it's limited to what I can get out of it. I'm going to enjoy this day. I'm going to enjoy your blessings. But I am also going to say to you, Lord, that what you have, your love for me is better than life. And so, God, I'm going to praise you. So, Lord, I just praise you today, and I just thank you today. Now, what I did is I just used a verse of invocation to get my mind off my whatever emotional state I might have been in there, and just letting immediately God's word interject. You see that positioning, that power move to get my heart and my mind onto the Lord by just a simple. And so there's certain verses in the Bible that are given to that. Not every verse necessarily is that. You know what I'm saying? You open up your verse randomly, you know, Judas went out and hung himself. Let me look at a new one. You know, go and do likewise. Not every verse is a prayer of invocation, okay? It's there are certain ones, and we're actually going to give you some. So this message today is meant to be extremely practical. I want to launch us off in a real practical manner. I don't want to talk about this. I want to do it. I want us to do it. I want us to take a step. I want us to journey wherever we're at. So I actually want to conclude today, and then we're going to receive communion. I have a call to action for all of us, no matter where you are at. Does someone have one of the little slips? I forgot to bring one up. So everybody, you can start handing these out. So everybody is going to get a real fancy piece of graphic art that I did myself on a piece of regular paper. It's very plain, but it's nice and small, so it can fit in your wallet, it can fit in anything. And here's what it is. It's a prayer commitment. To help me pray more effectively, I commit to pray for the next 7 days. And here's what I'd like you to all consider. Where? You might already have a place where you like to go to pray. Maybe you haven't thought about that. And maybe the place that you're going to pray now is full of distractions and you know that you need to pick somewhere else. You know, I know some people who like to go on prayer walks while they pray. You know, and if they're talking out loud, you know, just make sure the headset's in and people just think you're talking on the phone. So where, when? So is it going to be, you know, first thing in the morning, 7 a.m., 6 a.m., or is it going to be like, you know, I'm going to stop my Netflix binge at 11 p.m. and I'm going to give 10 minutes to the Lord before I go to bed or whatever. And then how long? So like I said, I hope everybody can at least put down 10 minutes, okay? No condemnation if you can't, but what I found is if you commit, and so I'm just calling you to action for just 7 days, okay? To try to do it for 7 days, because if you can do it even most of those seven, it could start even a new prayer habit or increase the prayer habit that you're already on. So for some of you, you might say, this is too elementary, and that's okay. We're just glad you're here. that you're going to lead us then. But I know, as I've talked to a few different people one-on-one, that a lot of us don't even do this, okay? So how many people are going to say, I'll put something down, I'll do something here? Are we good? Majority. There we go. Okay. And then also in this, I've also written, if you look here, I've got an invocation scripture, one for each day. So you don't have to pick them. These are good ones. These are some of my favorites, okay? So I hope that, and you know what else is cool? In the Lord's Prayer, when God taught us to pray, he said, our Father. It wasn't my Father. So you know what else is cool? Is that everybody else in this room who's committed to doing this is also going to read that same verse along with you. Isn't that cool? And so it's something that we can also bind us together in a sense of community. All of this is possible because of our Savior Jesus. He has paved the way for us by his atoning blood, by his sacrifice, by his death, burial, his resurrection. And I just feel like wherever we're at, that we just acknowledge that, Lord, you've done all of this, but maybe I'm not experiencing all of this abundant life that you talked about. Maybe it's because we just haven't stepped into the way that has been paved for us in the way that maybe we could, okay? So I also want to just say, look, this isn't, there's no condemnation. I mean, if you fill this out and then you sleep in or whatever, hey, we serve a gracious God. And he, you know what God smiles on? Our direction, not our perfection. When he sees us making more moves towards him, I believe our Father has a big smile on his face that we're reaching out even more to him. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, as we get started on this new prayer series, we're asking, Lord, that we would be able to encounter you anew and afresh. God, help us to know our hearts. Help us to plan. Help us to persevere. And help us to put in good, healthy practices. We love you, Lord, and want to know you even more. Give us your grace. Give us your strength, we pray, in Jesus' name.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.